Radio Prague News.
The opposition have called on the head of the Social Democrats to rethink his party's place in government. Czech Elena Gorolova has been named on a BBC list of 100 influential women. And victory over Slovakia means the Czechs preserve their status in soccer's Nations League. The leaders of five opposition parties that tabled a vote of no confidence in Andrej Babiš's government have appealed to Social Democrats chairman Jan Hamáček to rethink his party's membership in the ANO-led coalition. The heads of the Civic Democrats, the Pirates, the Christian Democrats, the Mayors and Independents and Top 09 made the call on Tuesday. Tomio Okamura of Freedom and Direct Democracy also backs a no-confidence vote tabled after a scandal sparked by statements from Mr. Babiš's son. The opposition leaders called on the Prime Minister to explain the circumstances surrounding a trip made by his son to Russian-occupied Ukrainian territory, which Pirates boss Ivan Bartosz described as a potential security risk. The opposition also want President Miloš Zeman to drop his stated intention of asking Mr. Babiš to form a new government if his current one loses Friday's no-confidence vote. Andrej Babiš Jr. says he was taken to Crimea against his will at a time when his father was being investigated for wrongly acquiring EU grants. The government will increase the Czech minimum wage by 1,150 crowns to 13,350 crowns a month from January, the Minister of Social Affairs Jana Maláčová said on Tuesday. The Social Democrat minister said she would push to ensure that figure is close to 16,000 crowns by 2021, when the government's term ends. The ANO Minister of Finance, Alena Šilerová, said she abstained from a vote held during Tuesday morning's cabinet meeting. She argued that the change would increase companies' costs. The average monthly salary in the Czech Republic in the middle of this year was 31,851 crowns. Some 4% of the country's workforce is on the minimum wage. Czech woman Elena Gorolova has been named on an annual BBC list of 100 inspirational and influential women. Ms. Gorolova is a Roma social worker based in Ostrava. The BBC highlighted her campaigns against forced sterilisation and work to return institutionalised children to their birth families. The 49-year-old told Czech radio that Czech doctors were no longer carrying out forced sterilisations, and that the focus of her work today was securing financial compensation for victims of the practice. She herself was sterilised without her knowledge. The Czech Republic have avoided relegation from the second level of European football's Nations League after a 1-0 win over Slovakia in Prague on Monday night. The only goal of the game came from Roma striker Patrik Schick. The hosts had needed just 1 point to avoid going down to League C in the new competition, and Slovakia were in the end relegated from a group that had already been won by Ukraine. The result was the third victory in 4 games in charge for the Czech Republic's recently appointed manager, Jaroslav Šilhavý. And the weather forecast, Wednesday should be overcast with some snow in the Czech Republic. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 2 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs will climb to about 4 or 5 degrees Celsius by the weekend. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, an annual government report on the environment has highlighted the alarming state of Czech forests. An administration building made almost entirely of concrete has won a Czech architecture prize. And we look at the history and state of the European Green Belt, a stretch of wilderness running along the former Iron Curtain. All that is coming up shortly, so please do stay with us. The impact of global climate change in the Czech Republic can be felt more strongly than ever before, so suggests a newly released government report on the state of the Czech environment for the year 2017. One of the most pressing issues highlighted by the report is the alarming state of Czech forests. Ruth Frankova has the story.
More frequent and more severe periods of drought, torrential rains and windstorms. These are just some of the weather fluctuations registered in the Czech Republic in 2017 as a result of climate change. According to the annual report on the Czech environment set to be debated by the government on Tuesday, global climate change is no longer a vague concern, but a pressing reality the country needs to start adapting to. Jiří Koželoch is the programme director of Friends of the Earth, Czech Republic.
The climate change is already strongly affecting our lives in Czech Republic. This is the main finding of the report, and the concrete impacts are mainly droughts and risks of heavy rains and storms, but also summer smogs due to the waves of heats and air pollution.
One of the most serious issues highlighted by the report is the catastrophic state of Czech forests, which is by far the worst in Europe. According to the report, over 70% of the country's coniferous forests are threatened with defoliation or loss of needles. According to Friends of the Earth, the main source of the problem are the prolonged periods of drought, bark beetle infestation and devastating windstorms, but most of all, the lack of effective action on the part of state organizations and ministries to adapt the forests to global climate change, mainly by switching to mixed forests. On the upside, the annual report on Czech environment shows that the long-term trend in the gradual reduction of toxic emissions continues. Nevertheless, air quality still remains a major problem in the country. According to the report, more than two-thirds of Czechs were affected by increased amount of dust particles and other toxic pollutants in the air in 2017, and air pollution led to 5.7 thousand premature deaths. Jiří Koželoch again.
The main positive conclusion is the fact that the raw materials consumption is lower, about 40% compared with the year 2000, or the energy consumption is lower, about 30%. So the Czech industry and Czech economy is more effective than before. The Czech Republic is unfortunately a recorder in carbon emissions. In Europe, we have about 11 tons emissions per person per year. But compared, for example, with the situation before the Velvet Revolution in Czech Republic, that was emissions about 19 tons per person and per year. So the situation is better, but still it's very problematic if we compare, for example, with the aims of Paris Agreement.
According to Mr. Koželoch, the negative trend can only be overturned with focused ecological policy. Among the first measures that need to be adopted by the government is the phasing out of coal-powered plants and the adoption of new law on forest management.
That report by Ruth Frankova. Now, David Krause's administration building in Stančice won this year's annual Czech Architecture Award. The building was praised by an international jury for its regional uniqueness and received the prize on Monday at a ceremony in Prague's Forum Karlín. The design, along with the winners of partner prizes, will be shown at special exhibitions in both Prague and Brno. Tom McEncrow has the story.
Finalistou a držitelem hlavní ceny České ceny za architekturu 2018 se stává dílo Administrativní budova ve Strančicích.
It was the announcement that everyone gathered at the third annual Czech Architecture Prize had been waiting for all night, and the winner of the Czech Prize for Architecture bore the rather featureless name of an administration building in Strančice. Made out of concrete and lacking even a layer of plaster, it may at first glance seem a rather odd choice. However, the architect responsible for its design and the man who collected Monday's prestigious prize, David Kraus, says that this was his exact intent.
Inspiroval jsem se tím, že oni prodávají beton a vyrábějí ho. To znamená, přišlo mi...
I was inspired by the fact that the client is a concrete maker. I felt it would therefore be on point to pour the building out of concrete, to make it a sort of example of what they make. The surrounding area is also a very industrial, ugly place, but in a beautiful way. So I thought the building too should be rough.
Toč princip návrhu.
The idea behind the building also fits Mr. Krauss's specific architectural style, which he says seeks to keep the buildings authentic and simple.
Today's buildings are necessarily complicated. You have lots of layers in the facades, complex building chemistry, and the buildings are as complicated as cars. This building could also be seen as a sort of answer to today's overly complex building systems.
The international jury was certainly impressed by the approach, as one of its members, Andrea Klimko, explains.
The concrete is left raw from outside and inside in all of its essence. The rough, even brutal aesthetics of the material is revealed, something that in our region of the world is not often seen in the open.
Mr. Krauss's building was not the only project to receive an award. The four partners of the event also had prizes to hand out. Among the winners were a cleverly reconstructed brewery in the Krkonoše Mountains and a community centre in the West Bohemian village of Nevřeň, which was praised for its design and use of daylight. Pictures of the winning designs, as well as the nominees, will soon be available for inspection by the public, says Tereza Zemanová, press spokesman of the Czech Chamber of Architects, which organises the awards.
The winner and the finalists can be viewed by the public in the gallery of Jaroslav Fragner in Prague. The exhibition starts on Thursday with the vernissage taking place tomorrow from 6 p.m. Viewers can inspect the designs through an audiovisual presentation.
The exhibition will stay in Prague until January 6th, after which it will move to the Brno Architecture Gallery and open up to visitors on February 7th until March 31st.
Tom McEncrow reporting. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for our main feature, In Focus. The European Green Belt is a stretch of wilderness running along the former Iron Curtain, which once divided the continent. It has evolved along the border for more than four decades now and is today the longest and largest ecological network of its kind, not only in Europe, but in the whole world. The European Green Belt is also an ecological initiative that joins 24 states, which were once divided by the impenetrable borderline. Ruth Frankova has the story.
For more than 40 years, the Iron Curtain separated Western Europe from the communist countries, stretching all the way from the Barents Sea in the north to the Black and Adriatic Seas in the south. With its watchtowers, barbed wires and minefields, the border zone became a sort of no man's land, which few were able to cross or even enter. At the same time, the absence of people allowed nature to take control of the area and gradually turn it into a piece of wilderness. The deserted and unused strip of land served as a retreat for rare animals and plant species such as black storks, bee-eaters or otters that were driven away from the heavily used landscape. Jan Skalík is an expert from Friends of the Earth Czech Republic, an environmental NGO which is in charge of the European Green Belt Initiative here in the Czech Republic.
Industrialization in West Europe brought vast majority of land to agriculture or other use like industry, and on the former eastern side of the Iron Belt we had areas of high environmental pollution, chemicals, pesticides and so on. So actually this part of land connecting these both sides of the former world is kind of pristine, and on many parts of the Iron Curtain it's still like that.
Ever since the Iron Curtain was brought down in 1989, many of the precious natural landscapes were threatened to be destroyed by road construction and other human activities. To preserve the unique piece of land, the 24 states that were once divided by the Iron Curtain joined together and in 2003 officially launched the so-called Green Belt Initiative.
The border of the Green Belt follows by the Finnish-Russian border, then by Baltic states and by the coast of Poland and Germany. Then it follows the former border between East and West Germany and Czech Republic, and from Austria it goes down to Hungary and other Balkan states, to Greece and Turkey. Within Czech Republic, the Green Belt begins on the west side close to Aš, and then it follows our south border. It means Český les, Šumava, Novohradské hory, and then South Moravia region, and it ends its way in Czechia close to Břeclav, and then continues to Austria.
With more than 12,500 kilometers, the Green Belt is in fact the longest and largest ecological network in the world. It connects natural areas with different protection status, such as national parks and biosphere reserves, which are linked by unprotected areas that serves as connecting corridors. Liana Gedeises from Bund Germany, a member organization of Friends of the Earth, explains why it is so important to keep the area interconnected and to prevent its fragmentation into isolated islands of wilderness.
It's the only ecological corridor, or I can say habitat connecting system, that exists in Germany. Because there are a lot of very threatened habitat types, they only exist in the Green Belt in Germany. And the Green Belt connects this different habitat types, and because there is such a nice ecological corridor, a lot of also threatened species could survive there in the German Green Belt and is still there and can move there from one region to the other. So it's very important to have this unique ecological corridor in Germany.
In the Czech Republic, the Green Belt is particularly important for large carnivores such as bears, lynxes and wolves, which need large habitats. But, as Jan Skalík points out, it is equally important for various plant species.
With the coming climate change, the environmental conditions from south to north are changing, and the plants need their way to actually migrate as well, to move from the areas where was suitable conditions for them recently, and now it's too hot. This belt through Europe actually gives these plants also the way how to move, because very often they are blocked by agricultural landscape or by urban landscape to move.
According to Jan Skalík, the Czech Republic has done quite a lot to protect its part of the European Green Belt. He mentions, for instance, the recently adopted Act on Natural Protection. At the same time, he says it is essential to cooperate with the neighboring countries in protecting the area.
You can imagine it very well on the example of Šumava National Park, which together with its Austrian and German part is one of the largest parts of wilderness in current Europe. And because of that, it really doesn't make sense to protect only one part of the national park with no respect to the other states.
Mr. Skalík says neighboring Germany, which recently gave the Green Belt the status of a national natural monument, can serve as a good example of how to protect this unique stretch of land. Liana Gedeises from Germany's Bund outlines more details.
We are doing a lot of projects and activities. For example, we as Friends of the Earth Germany, we purchase land along the German Green Belt to protect it for nature and for the future. But we are also conduct, for example, tourism projects along the German Green Belt. We invite people to go there and hike there, or take a bicycle or take a horse and ride along the Green Belt. So also the sustainable tourism is a very important tool to get the acceptance to protect the Green Belt as an ecological corridor.
Despite a number of successful conservation projects carried out within the European Green Belt Initiative, there are still spots of agricultural land with no hedges or trees, which threaten to break up the permeability of the unique natural corridor. The European Green Belt Initiative recently adopted the so-called Eisenach Resolution, which calls on the governments of individual member states to step up their efforts in preventing the ongoing loss of biodiversity and the increase of habitat fragmentation in Europe. According to Liana Gedeisers, the European Green Belt is the only positive legacy of the Iron Curtain and should be preserved for future generations.
It's a symbol for the overcoming of the division in Europe. It's a living monument to recent European history. Yes? It's a memorial landscape, yes. In fact, it's the only positive symbol of the former Iron Curtain, but now it's really a living symbol for the overcoming of the division of Europe.
And that was Liana Gaidesis of Bund Germany speaking to Ruth Frankova. And that edition of In Focus with Ruth brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's content, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz, and you can also reach us by Facebook or on Twitter. We'd be glad to hear from you. I'm Brian Kennedy, saying thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.